Welcome to the Queer Confidence Podcast, the podcast to help you become your most confident queer self. I'm your host, he, she, they, Coach Alex Ray, and I haven't always been this confident. In fact, I used to be super insecure. And through this show, I want to share with you what's worked for me, my clients, and my guests so that you can become more confident. Hello, my magical unicorns. Welcome back. Today, I have with me a beautiful, amazing guest, my friend Chloe Johnson. And I'm going to let her introduce herself in a minute here. But basically, the reason I wanted to have Chloe come on today is because she is seriously one of the most confident people that I know. She really embodies owning herself, owning who she is, knowing who she is. And you're just going to get to hear an amazing story of transformation that I already know a lot of. We had a wonderful talk when we met maybe like two summers ago in New York. Yeah. And she just really opened up to me. It was amazing and really helped me open up my perspective because I grew up in a very small, more closed-minded community. And so, you know, I know what my experience as a gay man is. And when I initially met Chloe, I don't think I had any trans friends at the time. And so I had never really had a conversation with anyone who is trans. And Chloe was just so open and vulnerable and willing to just like, let me know and answer my questions. And it was just a really helpful thing. So without any further ado, I want to introduce to you my confident, incredible, super sexy. Y'all have to go check out her Instagram in the down in the description. But wait, just listen to her first and then just check it out. Chloe, I'm so thankful that you're here today with me. Thank you for coming on the podcast.
Of course, with an introduction like that, do I even need to talk?
No. I don't think so. Period.
I am here. I am Chloe Johnson. That's so official. I am a trans woman. I am 41 years old, and I transitioned 26 years ago. So if you do that math quickly enough in your head, you'll realize that I was 15 when I transitioned. I just had to double check my math to make sure that that was correct.
I wasn't even bothering to do the math. So I was like,
I was like halfway expecting to get some kind of like medal or an award at 25 years, but I didn't get anything in the mail from anyone that said,
shoot, let me get on that.
Happy 25th tranniversary. So
is that what it's called, a tranniversary, or did you make that up just now?
I just like that just came out of my mouth right now.
I'm
not allowed to say that, but that's what came out. So I don't know.
I love it. Also, we're recording this on Trans Awareness Day. Day of Visibility. What is it officially called?
Trans Day of Visibility.
Okay. I love it.
Which wasn't a thing, I don't think, when I transitioned.
Probably not.
I feel like I just saw like what centennial this is, or like what anniversary this is, I mean, but I can't recall what it is. Yeah, so I transitioned when I was 15 in a very... Am I just diving in?
I was going to say, let's dive into a little bit of your story. If you want to start with just tell us a little bit about when you transitioned and what that process was like for you.
So I was 15 when I can I say that one more time? I was 15
when How I transitioned. Old?
15, I do believe. I grew up in a very white bread, very atypical white straight line community. There wasn't much color. There wasn't very much deviation. It was a town of very, very rich people, and then some very average families. And we were like the very average families amongst a lot of rich people. So there wasn't like a lot of diversity in any direction, color or sexuality. You know, it was just very plain.
Yeah. That pleasant Wonder Bread.
Feeling. Yeah. It was just so I always knew that I was different than my human counterparts, mm-hmm. but nobody ever tried to stifle that. Like my parents gave me whatever toys I wanted. If I wanted G.I. Joe, I got G.I. Joe because I was born male. So I got, or if I wanted My Little Pony, I literally had every little My Little Pony there was.
I love it.
Including the seahorses. I don't know if anyone that listens to this is old enough to remember My Little Pony, but back in 1942, you could save up your UPC codes and send them in and get a free seahorse before the seahorses were like on the market. This is back in the olden days. But so I would do stuff like that. And my, you know, my parents never said no. I had Barbies. Mm-hmm. I had like My Little Monsters. So I grew up in a very progressive household. And I don't even think my parents knew that they were progressive. Uh-huh. They just loved their children for who they were.
I love it.
And
what a novel idea.
Shocking, right? Just accept people for how they are at face value. Growing up in that environment, which we'll get to later, was absolutely amazing. But it also had a couple downfalls because it didn't. Them being so open and loving, no one ever had the conversation with me that outside of this household, not to everybody is this open and loving. So I kind of had to teeter two worlds. And I know people talk about teetering two worlds when they transition, when they try to live in both, when they try to live as female and male.
Okay.
In whatever version at different times. But for me, it was more of navigating society. Because obviously I thought, not obviously, but like so many other people, I believed that I was gay in some sense, because from as early as I can remember, I was attracted to men. Being attracted to women wasn't really a thing for me. So I just associated that with the first thing I learned, which was being gay or bisexual.
Yep.
And then I saw on a program, like a talk show back in the olden days, like one of the trashy talk shows. It could have been like Sally Jesse Raphael or Geraldo, something like that. And there was, at that time, we were commonly addressed as transvestites. Okay. And if you don't know the difference between a transgender person and a transvestite, transvestites in the United States are generally referred to as, are people that are referred to as, let me, taking that back up, starting over.
We know what you mean.
A person that is referred to as a transvestite is someone that usually dresses, a man that dresses up in women's clothing for sexual kicks. Okay. They don't want to be a woman, but the act of putting on female clothes gets them off and makes them feel sexy, and there's a sexual component to it.
Okay.
Now, in other parts of the world, transgender people are still addressed as transvestites, but that's just vernacular in different countries.
Okay.
But for here, it's not appropriate. Anywho, right. Saw that on TV, and I was like, wait a minute, hold on. You're telling me right now that you could be born in this little boy body, but you can really be a girl inside?
Mm-hmm.
That was me, and I had like this aha epiphany. And I guess I was 14, mm-hmm. 13 or 14, and I just knew that that's what I was.
Yeah.
But I didn't tell anybody because I didn't really know who to tell.
Right. What did you, okay, what did that feel like then to realize that if you didn't?
It was a huge, like I said, epiphany. I just like that word. That
yeah.
It was a huge weight off my shoulders because I knew that there was some sort of identification for myself because I did not fit in anywhere. Mm-hmm. I had two very masculine looking brothers, very much older than me, 15 years older, very masculine presenting into all the stereotypical masculine things. And I was so just the opposite. I was so artsy and emotional and feminine and soft. And when I did try to use the boys' bathrooms, I would get told that I was in the wrong bathroom. Not that I like looked outwardly completely feminine, but I looked more delicate and feminine than most boys at that age. So it wasn't, honestly, people being mean. People were like, oh, hey, girl, you in the wrong bathroom.
Right.
Kind of situation. And I'll back up to how I said when my parents raised me in such an open household, it didn't prepare me for real life. So I had this very loving and accepting family. But the minute I started school, it started in kindergarten. On show and tell day or bring your favorite thing to school day, I brought my Barbie doll to school. So from that point on, I was bullied until from kindergarten until my freshman year. My freshman year is when I finished, when I walked out of high school, because the bullying had become so progressively bad over all of those years that I had an incident in school and I just refused to go back one day.
Wow.
I feel like I'm all over the place.
So, no, I love it. So you're fine.
Okay.
All right. So you said when you had that realization after seeing someone on TV that you're like, aha, okay, that's me too. But you didn't know who to tell. At what point did you figure out who to tell and who did you tell?
So when I was 15, the last year that I went to school, I had made some very overtly queer friends. And so then I just associated myself as being gay, like I had said. And I was hanging out with a lot of gay kids. And then I met some drag queens. And then when I met my drag queen, I cannot talk today. I apologize to everybody. When I met my drag queen friends, I felt that it was okay to open up and let them know. And then they introduced me to another trans girl. So it was kind of like, you know, word of mouth connection. Back then, I think we had like Motorola flip phones. So it's not like you could text it, you know, text down the line or like look at someone's Instagram. You had to like know people.
You had to know people because all you had was a dial pad.
So yeah, 100%. So it was like all word of mouth.
Yeah.
And this woman, Tawny, helped me out. And then she helped me out. She helped me figure out like where to get breast forms and where to like go to get clothes. And like we'd go shopping. And then I had the incident at school where I refused to go back to school because I walked out of class and these guys decided to throw rocks at me and they were essentially stoning me as I walked out of class. And I just walked out and then I never came back to that school.
Who would want to after that?
Yeah. And so
we were talking about some biblical shit before this and like,
and then I brought stoning. Up stoning. I could be the resurrection of the Virgin Mary, but, so this is where my parents, this is like my coming out part to my parents. They knew I was queer because I was very effeminate. There was no hiding that I was queer of some sort. But after a week, they said, you don't have to go back to school, but we need to know why you don't want to go back to school.
Yeah.
So it was, it seemed like an eternity. Like the conversation went on forever, but I'm sure it was like an hour. But it was the, I have been bullied since kindergarten. And this is why I've been bullied, because everyone calls me a faggot and a queer and just all of the words that you can say. And that's not even the truth, mom and dad. The truth is that I'm really a girl. And my parents just jumped into action and got me into the right therapist, got me to the right doctors, got me into a new school, got my driver's license changed. Like they literally did everything that they could to do to be amazing parents.
I love it.
Yeah, it was great.
Thank God there are some parents that are ready to actually be helpful.
Yeah, I mean, I know that's not the most common version of the story. My parents also had to emancipate me at 16 because I was, back then, I think laws are getting all crazy again now, but back then parents couldn't consent for their child to take hormones.
Okay.
So they emancipated me so that I could make the decision on my own.
Oh, wow. Okay. Wow. So you were really, you were thrown into, I mean, I think all of us in different ways within the queer community are thrown into having to grow up like faster than other people. And then at the same time, we also experience like a second adolescence all over again.
Oh, and then like a second puberty, and then yeah, all of it.
Yeah. We really do live two lives.
the sexual revelations that come like when you self-identify.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like a whole rebirth. I mean, I'm not trying to be cheesy, but it kind of is.
It kind of is. I love it. Rebirth. Let's call it like it is. So, okay. And then at what point, because I know some of your story, at what point then you start your transition process, your parents are on board and everything. You finish school at a different school, right?
Well, I was also a goody-goody. So I actually graduated high school not even before my sophomore year ended. I tested out because I had become so far ahead that I was, what do you call it?
Brilliant.
Smart enough to get out of school at fucking 16. So because I hated the institution of school.
Yeah. Okay. And then at what point, because now, you know, I know the work that you do with Reps for Recovery and everything now, right? And you've been really open on your Instagram about your story of going from drug and alcohol addiction to sobriety.
Mm-hmm.
At what point, like, and why do you think you turned to drugs and alcohol there?
So it's all tied in for me. And I think, unfortunately, it's all tied in for so many people. And this is the scary part, because as the years progress, drugs, in my opinion, get scarier and scarier and more potent and more like compound and more deadly. I'm pro drugs. Like, if you want to do drugs to have fun, I support it. But they're, you know, we do harm to ourselves. But so what happened is I went from being a super goody-goody, straight A's, graduated high school 2 years early, to being emancipated, living on my own, being a full-time female.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have surgery or anything, but I was like, all my hormones. I was living with another trans woman, a different one than I mentioned before, who was about 6 years older than me. She was kind of like my mentor.
Okay.
But my goody-goody side just went right out the window with my rebirth. And I found drugs, and I'm never the type of person, I don't have like a very scared personality.
Yeah, you don't strike me as the timid type.
No. So I guess that's a lie. Yeah. Like inside, I'm always terrified, but I just feel like I've learned to like hide it and like counteract it really well.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
By just diving in.
Yeah, and I'm also kind of like OCD, so I'm constantly like always like recalculating situations in my head, and like I think I'm too busy in my head anymore to get paralyzed from fear.
Yeah.
Not a good thing to be, but so I was essentially on my own as a 16-year-old girl, living on my own, working, making my own choices. So the only person I had to be accountable to was myself, and I found drugs, and I just dove right in headfirst into the party lifestyle. But the thing was, is like, I did it all over a course of like, I don't know, 5 years, maybe 4 or 5 years. Started off smoking meth, ended up snorting meth, ended up shooting meth, learning what heroin was in rehab, and then doing heroin, and then deciding heroin wasn't fun enough, back to meth. Like, I freaking did it all. But the whole time I worked, I had to have a roof over my head. I was terrified of going to jail. So I was like trying to be the smartest drug addict that I could be and not do shit that was going to compromise me and put me in jail. Because back then, I remember there was trans girls, like there was a trans woman that went to a house party and she wasn't even doing anything. And she got beat to death.
Oh my God.
With like cans of food. Like these guys beat her to death in the kitchen of this house. Right. So that was the reality I was living in. And I was also living the reality of being a cisgender woman. Like, so back then, my elders, my trans elders, which when I was 15 and 16, they were probably in their 30s, but I thought that they were like 50 or 60, you know, that like right. like sense of age when you're that young. But yeah. like their words of advice to me were to blend in. Mm-hmm. Just blend in with your community, blend in with society. Let people see you as, back then we said bio woman, like a biological woman, or, you know, now we say okay. cisgendered, but go stealth. Just yeah. be a woman. Don't identify as trans. Now, they weren't trying to scare me. They weren't trying to tell me to not love myself or care for myself. They were literally trying to protect me.
Right.
They didn't want to see anything happen to me. And I had the world in my hands. I was so young, you know, and mm-hmm. I could do that. I could blend into society. But what happened was it made my world go from a giant world in my hands to the world fit in my hands. Like my whole world became very, very small okay. because I was constantly protecting myself from people finding out that I was trans. Mm. So if people would find out, I would change groups. I would make new friends. I would move. I was just constantly on the run, either mentally or physically, trying to change locations or headspaces so that mm-hmm. people didn't find out I was trans. And what's the relief from all that chaos? For me, it was drugs. So I just did lots and lots of freaking drugs to try and change the way I felt, because at that time, I wasn't comfortable in my own skin. I was literally running from my own transness, even though I had transitioned. Mm.
That's so powerful.
I feel so long-winded sometimes.
No, that is so well said. And I, you know, the place that lack of confidence or insecurity comes from is from that running of away from ourselves. And mm. I think it's why so much of the LGBTQIA plus spectrum of people, why all of us have struggled at one time or another with our confidence, because we don't have a high sense of our self-worth. We don't have a high view of ourselves. We often think really low of ourself and our identity, and we think that there's something wrong with us on some level. And we run away and we escape. And that's why I believe like our community does use a lot of drugs, a lot of partying, a lot of risky sex, a lot of anything to kind of distract at every opportunity from feeling. The less I can feel, the more, the better. So at what point for you do you think, well, actually, let's back up a little bit. Within all of that kind of chaos and really running from yourself, what do you think was kind of the main driving belief that you had?
Like the negative belief, like yeah. during the running? Oh my God, that I wasn't worthy as a fucking human being simply because I was trans. Hmm. That was the message from society at large, you know, or that's how I interpreted society.
Yeah. Yeah. And at what point did you start to change that? Like how did you change it?
It's like, you know, it's not an easy process. Obviously when I quit drugs, that was huge for me. I had one of those aha moments where I literally looked in the mirror and like, I saw who I was, and I just, it was bad, you know, and I quit drugs very abruptly. I think that's how most people quit. And I packed up my life literally. Mm-hmm. I was working at the Santa Cruz AIDS Project during the time. I was the program coordinator for their needle exchange program. Oh, wow. While I was using needles. I mean, it wasn't like poo-pooed or anything, like they knew.
Yeah.
But quit drugs, stayed at my friend's house. I would sleep on my floor under my desk. if I needed naps. Like, I continued to work, you know, I just like pushed myself through it. And really getting past that first hump of quitting drugs, that is a huge realization of your self-worth. When you are not forced to quit, when you're not put in an institution, when it is 100% of your own volition, I think it's so much more impactful than when people try to force people to quit. Like, you don't, it's not your decision if you're thrown in rehab, you know, like you'll clean up for a little while, but not for good. And I know this from experience. Anywho, that was the first huge step. And for me, it just kept building on from there.
Okay.
And then when I was in my right around 30, we don't really need to get into it, but I had a very, very public, very impactful situation. What do you even call that? I basically went up against my sports entity because they would not let me compete. Mm-hmm. And I went up to them and I was went against them and was like, this isn't right. Yeah. But before I did that, it was this a year of basically going over my self-worth. And I knew that this organization, if I didn't do something about what they were doing to me or say something about it, that no one else, or that they would keep doing this to other people.
Yeah.
And at that point in my life, just about 30, maybe coming up on 30, I had just thought to myself, you know, if I don't do this for myself, mm-hmm. no one else is going to. And there's nothing that could have reassured my self-worth as making that decision to stand up and say to essentially the entire world, this is who I am, and there's nothing fucking wrong with it. And you can judge me if you want, but I'm not going to take that hatred and keep it inside of me, because I had done that. I had did that. It was in the past. That's why I did drugs for 5 years, because I took, sorry, losing my voice. I'm getting heated over here. I took everyone's, how I perceived everyone's thoughts and kept them inside and stuffed them inside and said, I am not worthy because I am different. I am not worthy because I am different. Mm-hmm. And I was over that.
Yeah.
And though I knew it was like, you know, two things, that they would do this to someone else. Excuse me. I did it for myself. Mm-hmm. I really did it for myself. And at that point, when you take the thing that you are most vulnerable about, thank you, Brené Brown, for mm-hmm. being amazing. When you take the thing that you are most vulnerable about and you tell that to somebody else, it is literally life-changing. And you don't have to tell the internet. You can just tell like your therapist or your best friend, or the world, like I did. But I will tell you, once you do that, you realize that you were making a bigger deal out of it than anyone else could have ever made a bigger deal out of. It's crazy. And we all have something, or we all have a handful of things, whether it is sexual assault, whether it is gender identity, whether it is incest, stealing, robbing people, being abusive, like, we all have something that is relatable. We have some trauma that we hold in us that someone else can relate to. It doesn't have to be the same thing, but we all have something.
Yeah.
And
say that again, it cut out there.
Oh, I said, just let it out, because that shit will eat you alive.
Preach. Yeah. I feel like that is like the golden nugget of truth, of transformation, of like the gold nugget in your story is that when we hold on to our shame and we keep hiding it, it eats us alive. And when you let it out,
100%,
it becomes your source of power and strength.
Yeah.
And yeah. You, for those that don't know, Chloe did do an amazing thing within the fitness space. She has had a significant impact on fitness and sports in general in allowing transgender athletes to compete as their actual, in their actual gender division instead of what they were assigned as at birth. And so I'm just, I, you have really taken what was your biggest source of shame and really turned it into not only a way to bring yourself out of self-loathing into self-love, but also to help so many other people. So thank you for that.
That's crazy. Can we back up a second? Because I really like, this is just sitting with me right now and I just wrote it down and it's like, I just wish everyone could understand that the shame we hold around things that are done to us, we do not need to hold shame around. If people make fun of you and torment you and tease you, that is not your fault. That is their problem. There is nothing to be ashamed of because someone makes fun of you. If you are sexually assaulted or molested, society tells us that that is shameful, but that is completely not true.
Yeah.
When things are done to us, that is not our fault. That is not our shame to hold, you know? And that's my shame just snowballed over the years because every time someone made fun of me or said something shitty to me, I held it in like it was my fault because I was beautiful and unique. Yeah. And my beauty comes from my uniqueness, not the other way around, right? That's what we have to remember. Like, it's not our shame to hold. It's their fucking shame. Shame on them for trying to put their issues on us.
Right.
Box. Let me get down real quick.
Oh, I kind of like you climbing up there.
So, yeah. I don't, you know, like, as queer people, we are conditioned to believe that we are not correct. That we are, should be set aside in society, that we're different. We're not different. There have been queer people as long as people have been around.
Right.
Literally forever.
Mm-hmm.
Gayness is not new. Gayness is not like 20th century shit.
Right.
I've seen those Roman movies. I don't know how they got down.
Seriously. Yeah, and what you said earlier of like your belief of I'm not a worthy human because I'm trans, you could take that, people take that in, I'm not a worthy human because I'm gay, because I'm bi, because I'm whatever. Not a worthy human because fill in the blank. And then you had all that evidence. I'm doing little quote marks for those who can't see.
I think it's called air quotes. Air quotes. Go ahead. Yeah.
Air quotes. Thank you. We got all that evidence through the people that beat you up in high school, that like verbally knocked you down since kindergarten, that everything just piled up and your brain was like, yep, here's just more evidence. Look, yet again, another person that doesn't think I'm worthy because there's something wrong with me. And so I'm really curious if you could, at what point when you looked in that at yourself and like, what actually got you to say, I'm actually worthy of more than this? Like, this is not me.
Like during the drug time when I quit drugs?
Yeah. Cause I mean, it sounds like that was quite a pivotal moment.
It was. And It was just like the movies. I don't know. I literally just had that moment of clarity. I know it sounds so cheesy, but I just looked around and I was like, this is my sad, pitiful life.
Mm-hmm.
I was outwardly successful young woman, working a good job, paid for my house, supported my ridiculously dumb drug addict boyfriend on the inside. I was like the money maker, but I just wasn't happy. And there was just paraphernalia everywhere. And I was just sick again from dope sick because my veins were so shot and I couldn't find a vein. And it was just that brief moment of clarity where I was like, this is not the life that was intended for me. And I don't care who you are. If you are listening to this and you think that the misery you're sitting in right now is what is intended for you, I'm going to tell you right now, you are wrong. I do not believe in God. But I do not believe that any single person, unless you are actually a bad person, like Mr. Donald Trump, is intended to be in misery. I think we are all entitled to be happy, joyous, and free.
Yeah.
And whether you feel the misery is self-imposed, or if you deserve it, or whatever it is, I'm here to tell you that you don't deserve to sit in misery. You deserve happiness. I don't know who you are. But I'm telling you right now.
I love it. Preach. Preach. That needs to be like the audio clip.
But that's like what I needed to hear, you know? And even within our own communities, I'm calling everyone out, including myself. Even within the LGBTQ plus community, I know you threw some more letters in there than I did, but it doesn't roll off my tongue that easily all the time. But my point is, that's why
often I just summarize it as the queer community.
Yeah.
Just all of us.
We're divided within our own community. And
yes,
that's like a whole different podcast, but that's a sad fact. And it would be lovely if we could change it, because we within our community have one thing in common. And that is, we are labeled as different, and that too often we are kicked out from our families, our perceived communities, our lives, simply because we are different. And I don't care if you are a lesbian or a trans lesbian or gay or bisexual. Well, I don't give a shit. I love all of us. You know, I'm a bitchy person. I actually don't really like, honestly. I love everyone. Do I like everyone? No. But
right.
I have a general goodness in my heart that everyone does well. And can succeed. And I would like to see that division taken down within our community.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to hear what... So I have a thought of what I think needs to happen in order for that to happen. But I also want to hear your opinion.
Go ahead.
My thought is, we really... If all of us were believing that we ourselves were worthy, I think we would also be treating each other like we are worthy. And I think because a lot of us, what's that?
That's like a world problem, but yeah.
Yeah, totally. Totally. But like if our community in particular was really, and it's funny because we preach it a lot, that nothing's wrong with me because I'm, you know, my sexuality or my gender identity, it doesn't mean anything negative about me. But then we treat other people within the community like it does mean something negative about them. So I don't think we like really, really wholly to our core believe it about ourselves. When I say we, I mean as a whole. Otherwise, we would be also welcoming in all other people to be totally themselves. If we were doing that for ourselves, we would also be doing it for others.
100%. And like, to be completely honest, I've had this conversation before. I don't always understand everything within the trans community or the non-binary community, because that's not my lived experience. But right. I am comfortable enough to ask those people questions when I have those questions. And this is where I see it within our own community. It's like, if someone doesn't know something, they automatically put up those like walls. And instead of taking the time to ask and learn, they just kind of put up the blinders or the walls, like they don't see it. And like, that's not what we do within this community. We need to like embrace and try to understand each other. We don't have to understand, but if we at least have the conversations, I think it's a good start. And it makes me think back to like, because I've been doing this for 26 years, because this has been my life for so long, there are a lot of experiences in there. And I've been, when I do make blatant public statements from time to time on my own opinions, I have, you know, I take flack like we all do. There's always different sides to the conversations and people are always going to have their opinions. But I always find it most odd when other trans women come at me and try to take me down.
Yeah.
And often, I don't mean often, like every day, but it has happened a handful of times that other trans women have come at me with my opinions and said that I don't understand, I could not possibly understand their side of it because I'm too cis normative. And which, A, like this whole binary of cis normative needs to just be eliminated anyway. But like any person, I did not look like this that I look now when I was 15.
Yeah.
You know, at like 26 years of hormones does a lot to your body. And part of me like takes it really personal and I want to be like, listen, bitches, here's the deal. Like I did years and years and years of laser hair removal because I'm freaking Sicilian. Like at 15, I had like a 5 o'clock shadow. Like I didn't always look like this. And so often we get judged off of like a flash appearance and people don't think about what it was like before. So it just, I guess it's like more hurtful when you get attacked from within your own community.
It's totally hurtful. Yeah. And I think that the reason that people attack within with anyone is because, especially like this horizontal hostility that you're talking about, is because they themselves are also running, they're still running from themselves.
And right. It's so, their own stuff they're projecting.
Yeah. And so attacking another person is really convenient. And it's really like they might have beliefs like, I'm not, they might be thinking already, like, I'm not, I don't look, female enough. You look so female. I'm almost like jealous and something's wrong with me because I don't look like that. So why don't I attack you because you don't have my perspective because I have this thing. And it like, I don't know, that could, that, and it might be something totally different, but it does, whatever it is, it's coming from a place of their own insecurity in the first place, not just like people that bullied you, you know, in middle school. And so I think the way that we all work on overcoming this is all of us working on our own beliefs about ourselves, our own confidence, and learning from people like you that have had that journey. Like, because you exemplify it so well.
And I think another part, and I'm kind of jumping around, but we're talking about confidence and like making the progression from being insecure to confident. One of the biggest things for me when I had that very public battle with the sports entity was that I made a very hard decision to, not hard, but a very steadfast decision is what I meant to say, to not engage. So when everything was very public and I was getting lots of support mail and hate mail and support comments and hate comments, I made a very steadfast decision to not engage. So I had friends take over my social media. I had different people to help filter out and delete the negative stuff. And I chose to never read it. And to this day, anytime I do an interview or in an article, I have never, ever read a single article that was written about. That's a lie. I read one. I read one because it was very, very good. I'm not saying the others aren't good, but I did read one. But I didn't read the comments. I've never read the comments. I've never really engaged because when people have mean things to say, they don't want their perspective changed. They want to get a rise out of you. So I made that decision to not engage and even look at it. So the minute I would see something that I thought might be negative, I would boop, and I just would move past it. And I think that was another huge step in my confidence because I elevated myself to the point where I was literally saying, your negative shit doesn't matter to me. and I will fucking leave it posted because what it doesn't matter. It doesn't even take my energy. And so from time to time, if someone says something real stupid nowadays, I'll repost it just to show people like, hey, don't be this kind of stupid, because sometimes people aren't trying to be mean. They're just really ignorant and real dumb when it comes to
And you've posted some funny things on your Instagram.
Weird issues, you know, and people just don't get it. Like the other day, I recently started going to a new gym, and one trainer, he just, I'm pretty sure he calls everyone man, like, hey man, how's it going, man? Have a good day, man. Like, he's just one of those guys.
Okay.
But I just was like not having the best day. Like, my morning was like very consumed with work by 5 o'clock, and it was AM, and I was like trying to get my workout, and he said it to me, and it just didn't sit right. Like, have a good day, man. And I was like walking downstairs the whole time I fucking took a shower, the whole time I changed, I was thinking about it, and it was going over and over and over in my head. Marched my happy ass back upstairs, and I was like, hey, Brian, do you call me a man because you think I'm a man? And he like looked shocked, and I was like, no, what are you talking about? No, I just say that. And I said, well, you know, I'm a woman. Like, have you ever thought that maybe women like would want to be addressed as women? Or maybe you could just say, hey, Chloe, have a good day. Like, use my name. And he tried to go on with these excuses about why he uses the word man. And I said, well, here's what you need to know. I am transgender. I transitioned 26 years ago. So when you say, hey, man, to me, that is not appropriate. And he like took a step back. He definitely took his like, you know, trans friendly training course, because he said, thank you very much for sharing that with me. I appreciate it. Which, just so you know, that is actually the best response to have. Thank you for sharing that with me, because that's really hard for a lot of people to say.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even at this point, it's still hard for me to say sometimes. But we ended the conversation and he literally said, well, what's your real name? And
what?
I was like, and I don't know if he just meant like Chloe versus Chloe, because people just call me Chloe, or if he just had like another dumb moment. But it's like dumb moments, you know, but like you do. I try to say stuff because I know many people can't.
Yeah.
And I don't want to give a shit anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm too old for that shit. I'm 41, 42.
You said 41 earlier, so.
I think, yeah.
Unless 41. Today's your birthday. Probably still 41.
No, am I 42?
I love this about you. Like, when we met, you were like, I don't even know how old I am. I can't remember.
41, I think. I do have a hard time with my age sometimes. I'm sorry.
I love it. I mean, I actually kind of do, too. I started when, well, like, for the last 2 years, I kept forgetting how old I was.
Well, I don't think 2020 counted, so I think a lot of people are confused.
Right. Everyone's like, we didn't get to age that year. Doesn't count. Oh, my goodness. I love it. I think that, thank you for sharing all of this. It's wonderful to hear you share some of the behind the scenes, some of the different the stages that you went through and the belief changes that you made about yourself that got you from that place to, I mean, you do show up now online. Like, you really, you're not arrogant. You just know who you are, and it doesn't, it really doesn't seem to bother you when people say stupid things, whether it's ignorant or meant to be mean. And I do love always seeing your posts and reading them and just seeing you be you.
Thank you really for that. Yourself. And I know we're running out of time, but I just want everyone to also understand that it's not solid. I didn't decide I am this person and this is who I am and this is who I'm going to be forever. Like, my version of myself constantly changes. But the thing is I've allowed myself to be okay with those changes and be okay with those beliefs. And what I believed a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, doesn't mean that I have to believe it now, because guess what? It's 5 years ago, or it's been 5 years, it's been 10 years. So things change. Also, I still have to work at my self-worth. It is not, it's not just done. I'm not just like, hey guys, I'm a fucking badass all the time, and what you say doesn't bother me.
You,
like,
you never ever have a negative thought.
No, like dating's still hard. Dating is a real hard arena still. Mm. Dating's really hard in the area I live in. So it's like, I constantly have to work on self-worth, but I go to therapy when I need to check in. I went through like 3 years of intensive therapy not that long ago. Like, it does take work. Mm-hmm. But I am just saying, as long as you do that freaking work, I think you're going to be happier, because shit changes and you're like, what?
And ultimately, like, within that, thank you for pointing that out, that you're not some magical robot that only has good thoughts about yourself.
Oh yeah, not at all.
It's just that your predominant thought is like, I am me and that's okay. And sometimes I'm going to think negatively and like, it's not a problem, because that's also part of being human. Sometimes I'm going to have some negative thoughts about
myself. Okay. It is okay to not be happy with yourself sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. But you've created space for it to be like, okay, hey, that's part of being human. And also that's okay. I'm not like not okay with not being okay. Yeah. Amazing. Thank you so much for sharing this. Is there anything else that you feel like was something that you really wanted to make sure you got to share today?
I feel like I said a lot of words and a lot of things came out, and I don't know if they all made sense, but I feel like the gist of my life pertaining to this conversation came out. So I guess my answer would be no. I don't have anything more to add.
I love it.
Was that the question? Did I have more to add?
Here's my long sentence to say, I don't have more to add.
Oh, God, that's me. That's me.
It's you. I love it. Well, Chloe, thank you so much for being on today's episode, for sharing your story with us, and for giving us so many gold nuggets of truth here. I'm so thankful that you were able to share your story, because it's going to really help some people make that transition for themselves of insecure to confident, or maybe also help them go through a transformation. There we are.
I love it. Well, thank you for having me.
Thank you.
I guess you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
And you're welcome. I forgot to say. Well, everyone, I will see you next week on the next episode. Bye-bye.
Toodles.
If you enjoyed this episode, don't keep it to yourself. Share it with a friend so they too can become more confident. You can also help more people find the show by leaving a 5-star review wherever you listen. And if you want to become a more confident queer with support from yours truly, head to coachalexray.com or use the link down in the show notes. I'm looking forward to working with you.